For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Saturday evening service of July the 9th, 1999, the summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Dr. Bill Noah of Salina, Kansas, is the speaker of the evening.
And so you just keep binding. Now, there's a big, in 1 John 2:18, it says, little children, this is the last time. You've heard that the Antichrist shall come, but even now many Antichrists, which we know that it is the last time. You see, there's a powerful Antichrist spirit that is coming, but a little Antichrist spirits have already gone out. And Jezebel's spirits follow the same pattern. They're powerful Antichrist spirits who use witchcraft that are called Jezebel, and they assign to an area or group to neutralize their threat to the kingdom of darkness. And they have at their command lesser Jezebel spirits going to attack the assigned targets in that territory. To pull down the powerful prince is the work of the church or the body. You need two or three on a daily basis. Lesser spirits who attack individuals can be bound by a single person. Now, Matthew says that Matthew 12:29 says, you bind the strong man, you have to bind the strong man to spoil his house. And that word house means the generations. Bind the strong man of your family and spoil his house. Spoil means to take away his goods. Take your family back. I could talk for a couple more, another hour on binding and loosening. But I think that binding and loosening, if you don't hear anything but what I've told you today, but binding and loosening, I want you to know that binding and loosening is the most important thing that you can do. It is absolutely important that you bind the evil spirits over the strong man over your family. If you don't know what it is, you pray and fast, and the Holy Spirit asks God to show you the strong man over your family, and you bind him. I bind the one over my family three times a day. Every time I think about it, I bind him. I bind him over my children, over my brothers, my sisters. Bind him. And I loose salvation, supplication, and grace to come in. You know, it said that for this purpose Christ was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That word destroy there is loosed. Same word he used here for bind and loose. He loosed. He loosed the people. Loosed the world from the works of the devil. I feel that there is one demon over the descendants of William Habitson Noah, who is my great-great-grandfather. And that's a portion I've studied very carefully. And I bind him every day. I break his power. And he's manifested, and I go to the family reunions, and I pray for the kids, and I pray for all the kids, and praise God, I pray for them and ask God to and loosen salvation, supplication, and grace. And the family is very receptive to me. They don't all believe the way I do, but they're Christians, most of them. They're receptive to prayer. And God has moved in their life, and they have seen manifestations and signs. They have seen signs following from the prayer. And I tell you, that sort of opens people. Now, once people see someone get healed, see someone's life change, and most of the time it makes them open and receptive to getting prayed for. Not always, but sometimes. The day we had the child raised from the dead, there was a surgeon standing there and watching it, and he looked at it, and this child's head had been crushed, and the bones all came back together, and the flesh was made whole. And I got x-rays to prove it. And he looked at it, and he said, I will not believe this. I will not believe this. And he walked out of the door thing all the way. I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to. It threatened everything that he knew. Can you imagine such somebody being so foolish? May God have mercy on him. Touch him and bring him to salvation, Lord. Okay, let's go on. We have transgressed too far now, and I've got to get Glenn out of here. And I only have about 2 more hours to go. Praise the Lord Jesus. Okay. All right, you've got to deny natural affection for your family, for others. You've got to deny your self-pity. Now you got to deny your love for the world. Remember, the Bible says anybody who loves the world is an enemy of God. James. Oh, James 1 says, love not the world. Anybody who loves the world is an enemy of God. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, verse 32 and 33. Verse 32 says, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever so loses his life will preserve it. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let's look at the whole context there on Luke 17. Let's start back at verse 26. And as it was in the day of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. On the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So it didn't come from a volcano. It came from heaven. Oh. Now, you know, I never really saw that before. It didn't come from a volcanic eruption. It came from heaven. Even so, will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods or in the house, let him not go down and take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whosoever loses his life will preserve it. Lot's wife. What was it about Lot? Now remember, Lot was Abraham's relative. And as I remember, they had so many herds and so many possessions that their herdsmen were getting in fights over the pasture. And Abraham said, you know, we've gotten so big, we're going to have to separate because we're bringing strife because there's just so many of us, and we own so much. And so Lot, he went down, pitched his tent toward Sodom, and became an elder at the gate down there. He was so rich. He's a stranger, came in, and got to be an elder in the gate. Because he was so wealthy. So Lot was not a poor man. He was a wealthy man. And the angels took them by the hand and they left in the middle of the night. Early morning. And they were rushing in a hurry to get away because they knew that the city was going to be destroyed. And she got up to the top. And you know, she didn't turn around to go back to pick up anything. She didn't retrace her steps back to get anything. All she did was look longingly back. Oh, all my nice things gonna be destroyed. Love the world. That's sort of convicting, you know. You love possession. First Timothy says, if you desire to be rich, you'll fall into many snares. Let's look at First Timothy. First Timothy chapter 6. Verse 9. Well, let's start at verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. There are no pockets on a shroud, people. You know that? Ain't no pockets on a shroud. Ain't no U-Haul it following the hearse. Having food and clothing, with these will she be content. But those who desire, there's a soul desiring to be rich, shall fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Perdition means hell. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Kinds of was added by the translators. That's in italics. For which some have strayed from the faith in their griefs and been pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things. Watch Manet wrote a tract once and said he's had five sure roads to hell. And the first one was the desire to be rich. I tell you, people, greed is a terrible taskmaster. I served him for a long time. And I'll tell you, you won't ever have enough. And most of the time, he'll take a pair of scissors and cut a hole in the bottom of the sack. I don't care how much you pile in there, you don't have enough. And it runs out so fast. And it's never satisfying. I mean, it's a terrible life. That's just horrible. Just horrible. And I can tell you a few stories. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, Lot was a very, my friend. Let's look at Hebrews 10:34. I don't know how many of y'all can do this. Here's a picture of it. Hebrews 10:34. Let us look at 33, 32. Starting 32. But recall the former days in which you, after you were enlightened, you endured great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle of, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. Okay? For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your possessions, knowing that you had a better, more enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Now, what he's saying there is that they, after they were saved, they were ridiculed, they were persecuted, and when they stood with the writer of Hebrews, they stood there and watched people take everything they owned. You know, they stood them outside and people went in and said, oh, look, they're taking our furniture now. Ain't that wonderful? They joyfully endured. Look, there's my favorite dress. She's taking my dress. My jewelry. Praise God. Joyfully endured the plundering of their goods. Don't love the world, people. Remember, it's temporal. And your God will provide for all of your needs, out of his riches and glory in Christ. It's not your wants, but your needs. As long as you follow him. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's look at Luke 9:62. I'm always reminded of this old four-square pastor who had an old-fashioned plow that she put in the church. And people would come in and say that once you put your hands to the plow, don't look back. It says him. But Jesus said to them, no one having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That was Lot's wife. She looked back. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now let's look at Matthew 6:19-33. And this is an interesting portion here. Matthew 6, verse 19 through 33. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in to steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All right. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, if the eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if the eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if, therefore, the light is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either will hate the one and love the other, or else be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. That is suke, soulish life. What you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put it on, is not life, suke, again, your soulish life, more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither spoil, torn, or spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown out into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, or you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the heathen seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Well, it's interesting that the life they refer to is a soul life. He says, don't worry about possession. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. And then God's going to provide for you. He will, through his Holy Spirit, provide for you. Now, Paul says, if you don't work, you don't eat. I mean, you know, the good Thessalonians thought they could just sit down and not do anything, wait for Jesus to come back. But Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. So you still have to work and you still have to eat. But you don't, but you let the Holy Spirit lead you. He'll lead you into all things. And he will give you the proper work that he wants you to do where you can blossom in his kingdom, and there will be provision for you. You will have food and clothing and raiment, and you will have biblical prosperity. And biblical prosperity is having enough money to meet your needs in the ministry where God has placed you, and enough left over to pay your tithe and to share with others. Now that's biblical prosperity. Having your needs met, pay your tithe, and having some left over to make offerings for others. And then when God prospers you, he expects you to put that extra into offerings. He says, you asked, you have not, because you asked not. You asked and received not, because you asked amiss that you might squander it on your own lust. So you have to deny the love of the world and the desire for things you don't need. I tell you, if you know, manna means that which you put your trust in. It's commonly translated riches, but the original meaning of the word was that which you put your trust in to meet your needs. And it gradually became translated money. But the original meaning was that which you put your trust in. Most people trust in the almighty dollar bill. Most people in this country think, you know, if I just made $20 more a week or $50 more a week, all my problems would be solved. I just need another $50 a week and take care of everything. And then get that $50 a week, and then they need a 20 more because they still got more problems. Or they need $100 more. And they don't ever have enough. You can't serve Jesus and money. Remember this. Jesus said to the devil, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. Whatever you worship, you're going to serve it. It's going to own you. You better worship God and be his and serve him and listen to his Holy Spirit. Okay. So now we've talked about denying natural affection. We've talked about denying self-pity. We've talked about denying possessions, love of the world, and money. Now we're going to talk about death. Death. Let's look at John. John 12, 17 to 26. John 12, 17 to 26. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him to the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met with him, and they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast. And they came, therefore, to Philip, which is of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and tell Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, and saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn or wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his soul shall lose it, and he who hateth his soul in this world shall keep it to Zoe eternal, the life of God. Sure, we'd see Jesus. Jesus had just raised a man from the dead, and the Pharisees said, look, the whole world's going out to him. Well, they're going to make him king, and the Romans are going to come and take our temple and our place, our nation and our place. And the Greeks said, boy, we want to see this man who raised somebody from the dead. Remember when Paul was at Athens, he talked to them, and he got to the part that God had verified Jesus Christ by raising him from the dead, and the people said, now, wait a minute here. And that's when he lost most of the crowd. But these Greeks said, man, we want to see him. We want to see him. And they went to Philip and said, man, let us look at him. You suppose he talked to us? You suppose he'd come over and preach in our church, in our synagogue over in Greece? Maybe do some miracles over there. We need some help. Jesus said, except the wheat fall into the ground and die. Abides alone. If it dies, it'll bear much fruit. He says, I'm going to lay down my life. Hallelujah. All the glory of this world, you got to die to it. You ask the Father by the Holy Spirit to show you how you died in Jesus on the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, of him, of the Father, you are in Jesus, who of God has made us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And you were baptized into his death, Romans 6:3. Know ye not, as many of you were baptized in Jesus, were baptized into his death. Then therefore also reckon yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You got to die, people. Jesus died. He said, unless you fall into the ground and die. Now, you died with Jesus, and your old man, carnal nature, was crucified with him. That you don't have to be. That the body of sin has been rendered inoperative. But you still got the soul there. And the soul still wants preeminence. Remember that the soul, before the fall, the spirit had preeminence. Spirit was the mistress and told the soul what to do. Now, this body will not move unless the soul tells it to. The spirit's the mistress, the soul is the steward, the body is the slave. The sins in the body would like to tell the soul what to do. The soul would like to have preeminence and control things. But you have to put the spirit back on the throne. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I have a small handout here on dividing the soul and the spirit. I have a series of tapes here that I did last summer or last winter, I can't remember when, on body, soul, and spirit that gives you a lot more detail on this. You'll notice that there's a schematic that shows a series of three circles, the body being the outside circle, the soul, and then a very small circle, the spirit. Now remember that before salvation, the spirit is dead to God. You're in spiritual death. And you have a very small spirit. Can still communicate with the occult. And your conscience still functions. Even the heathen have a conscience, which is part of the spirit. Now, we'll have to say, for those of you, the spirit is divided into the conscience, which is the organ that tells you the right and wrong. It's divided in the intuition, that is the organ of communication. And it's divided in the communion, and that is the organ through which you communicate with God. That is the communion with God. Now, you hear it through your intuition, communicates it to your soul. You have your communion, which communes with the Holy Spirit. It passes through the conscience. Can still communicate with the occult. And your conscience still functions,
Even the heathen have a conscience,
which is part of the Spirit. Now, we'll have to say, for those of you, the Spirit is divided into the conscience, which is an organ that tells you the right and wrong. It's divided in the intuition, that is the organ of communication. And it's divided in the communion, and that is the organ through which you communicate with God. That is the communion with God. Now, you hear it through your intuition, communicates it to your soul. You have your communion, which communes with the Holy Spirit. It passes through the conscience and into the intuition, which passes it to the soul. Now, if you got a guilty conscience, it's like having a dirty window. You got unconfessed sin, it's like having a blockage there. Got unforgiveness, your sins aren't forgiven. You don't hear from God most of the time. Now, God can communicate. He can reach down and shake you anytime He wants to. You remember, He God. He can speak to you in an audible voice. He can reach down and shake you if He wants to. He's God. He's the boss. He can do anything He wants to do. But under normal circumstances, He communicates to you through your intuition. Through that which passed by the communion, through the conscience, through your conscience, through your intuition. Now, women have very sensitive intuitions. They're very sensitive spiritually. Men are not as sensitive, just a general rule, as women. That's the reason God made the man as the covering. He's tougher. He doesn't get hurt as easily. He's able to take the bluntness of the attack. Big, tough man. His woman is generally more sensitive. Also, because she's more sensitive, you can deceive her easy. I had a friend who was when he was in the world, the one thing he learned about women, although they were more sensitive, and their spirit with their intuition was more sensitive, he found the way to sell women was to get to know them. He sold insurance. You should get to know them, get to be a friend. And then they would trust you, and it would dull their intuition, and then he could sell them. But he had to get to know them first and have them learn to like him, and then he could sell them. Whereas if he just tried it on the first time he met them, he says, whereas men, he found that they got to know him well, that their sensitiveness increased. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, Ezekiel 36 says, a new heart I will give you, a new spirit I will put within you. I will take out the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment. All right, after salvation, God puts a new spirit in you, and then he puts His spirit in you. He seals your spirit. Everybody knows that. We don't need to look at that scripture. Is anybody here who doesn't know that? That your spirit is sealed. That the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your spirit and you're sealed. Okay. But you'll notice that the spirit is still surrounded by the soul, very close proximity to the soul. Although the spirit is much larger, it's surrounded. And that's surrounded by the body. And the soul is able to upset the spirit. And the soul will get all emotional. That's the reason Paul says, flee to young men. He says, flee fornication. Why? Because if you stay around your soul, your desires and your soul and your emotions will get stirred and stirred. And then you don't think too straight anymore. And you yield. So flee. It says flee idolatry. Because idolatry opens you to deception so quickly. So flee. Get away from it. Because if you stay there, your soul, you go to one of these meetings where they talk about money. How to make money. And I can name a few of them, but not on tape. But they get you in there and they, oh,
we thank God for this. And they get to talking about money. And before long, they've got your emotions so stirred up, you don't think good anymore. And you're thinking how you going to make money off of somebody else's labor. And how you going to get all this kickback from somebody else's labor. And how you going to get money without working. That's because they get your emotions and your stove, and they get you to worshiping money. And you don't hear the Spirit of God. And so you need to get your soul and your spirit separated. The body is described as a tent covering or containing the soul and the spirit. To split open the soul to allow enlargement of the spirit, we have to ask our high priest Jesus to separate it for us. Let's look at Hebrews 4, 12 to 16. You really have to start with verse 9. For there remains a rest for the people of God. For he that entered into rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the thunder, asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that's not manifested in his sight, for all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing that we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, which is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly through the throne of grace that we may find mercy in the time of need. Picture here is one of Jesus dividing the offering. Out of the Old Testament, a lamb was brought, and the priest took the sacrificial lamb and divided it, opened it up. Picture is one here of you being laid on the altar, and Jesus Christ takes the Word of God, the sacrificial knife, and opens your spirit, your soul up to let your spirit death. The soulish desires. Opening of the soul to enlarge the spirit so that your soul can't enrage your spirit anymore as easily. Still can, but not as easily. Romans, this is pictured in Romans 12, 1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. You know the thing about an altar, people? It's hot. It's hot. Over in India, they used to have the Hindu women throw themselves on the funeral pile of their dead husband. Actually, they would get up on the altar by their husband and hold on to him, and they'd light the fire. When the fire got hot, lots of these women would want to jump off. They wanted to jump off when the fire got hot. They felt the heat. They wouldn't stay there and be burned. How many of us, when we lay ourselves down and say, yes, God, when the fire gets a little hot, see the plundering of our possessions, we can't get what we want, love the world. We get a little self-pity. We come under persecution, have natural affections that suddenly will of God comes into contrast with our natural affection. Maybe we see someone that is a young man, sees someone that's he's really attracted to, but he knows it's the will of God not to marry because she's a heathen girl. She ain't saved. She's not saved. But yet that drawing within him, it'd be a saved girl. God says, no, that's not the one for you. You're going to the mission field, and she is not cut out the mission field. I have another job for her. How many of us? That altar gets hot. Maybe you've agreed to do an obligation. You have an obligation you've made, given your word that you're going to do something. It's not working out like you thought it would, and suddenly it's going to cost some money. you want to try to find a way to back out gracefully. Not that you, you know, you gave your word, but, you know, yes, I didn't count on this. Well, nobody else did either. But you gave your word. Remember what he read Psalm 15 to us? He who keeps his word to his own hurt shall abide. You know, we've got thousands of people in this country carrying bankruptcy today. I think that there's a place for that. But most of these people have just suddenly decided they've just gotten themselves in over their head. They just don't want to work to pay it off. Why, you know, it'd take me 5 years of denying myself to pay. Well, this law was written for me. Besides, I went down and took my credit out. I got these other full credit cards here, you know, applications for them, and I just filled them out, and I just ran them up to the hilt. Got everything I wanted, you know. I got stuff that's not going to take away from me. Like I said, the altar sometimes gets... The division is necessary. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 and 12. 6, 11 through 13. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 to 13. O Corinthians, we've spoken open to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you're restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak to your children, we're open. The old King James says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open to you and our hearts enlarged. You are not constrained in us, but we are constrained in you, our bowels. And now is a recompense of the same, that ye be enlarged, also enlarged. 2 Corinthians 10:15 says, Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that you shall be enlarged. We shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Ephesians 3:16 says that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by spirit and inner man. People, you got to want to have your soul and spirit separated if you're going to die to self. You got to ask. And you say, what are the steps first? You ask God. You got to know that you want it done. You got to know that you need it. You got to know that you need to move away, to know it's difficult to move away from natural affections. It's difficult to move away from self-pity. It's difficult to move away from the love of possessions because it's such a part of our culture. It's difficult to say that we're going to die to self-glory. That we're not interested in the glory of the world. We're interested in dying to the world that we might bear fruit to God. So when you need to have God show you this. You need to pray and say, God, show it to me. Not in my mind, but in my spirit, in my heart. Let me know that I need it. And then you have to ask. You got to ask. Matthew says, Matthew 7, 11 says, 7, 7 through 11 says, Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? If he asks fish, will give him a serpent? If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father in heaven give good things to them that ask? Now that asked is in the Greek, continuing Greek tense. It means asked and keep on asking. Asked. Seek and keep on seeking. Don't stop. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. And knock. And keep on knocking until you got to kick the door down. Let's say, Lord Jesus, I want to be renewed. I want to have my soul and spirit. I want to die so I can. The life of Jesus will be manifested in me. Remember that I want to follow the Spirit of God. For those that are led by the Spirit of God shall be the sons of God. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, Corinthians, you heard this yesterday, and you heard it day before yesterday. In Galatians 5:16 says, Those that are led by the Spirit of God shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And looking back, 5:24 or 5:25 says, That those that are in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its lust and passion. Now, you, positionally, you have crucified it. Experimentally, you've got to ask God, and you've got to seek in, and you've got to push. Lay down the world around you. And so, ask Him. And then, You need to yield pacifically. You know, look at it and say, what do I value more than you, Lord Jesus? Show me what areas I have problems. And we all have different areas. We all have problems. We all have a problem area that we have trouble yielding in. Some of us have more than one. And you need to say, God, what do I have to yield to? What do you require? And then when he shows you yield, follow the Holy Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of flesh. You will die to self. You will find in the life of Jesus, the Zoe life of Jesus will be manifested in you. And you lay down your soul, your natural affections, your self-pity, your desire for the world, the love of the world and possessions, your personal, your family, and the world. Lay them down. Those are the three areas that Jesus talked about. I've given you an example out of each gospel, but each one of these has other scriptures that supports it. Yield to the Holy Ghost. Follow him, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's all stand.
Praise God a little bit.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah, Lord. Say, dear Lord, I love you. I want to follow you closely, Lord. I want to lay down my life that I may save it and come to your life, that my soul will be under the control of my spirit, which is directed by your spirit, that the Zoe life of God, that people will see Jesus Christ in me. Lord Jesus, you're my high priest. Divide my soul and my spirit. Set me free from the lust of the flesh, from the influence of the soul, that I may follow your spirit. Lord Jesus, show me that area that binds me, just me, binds me and holds me. Show me now, Lord. We'll wait a minute now. Lord Jesus, I commit this to you. And you can say it very quietly under your breath. I commit it to you, Lord. Set me free, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, I come against the demonic forces that would hold these people in deception, Lord God. I come against the forces that are the love of money, the love of the world, the deception of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches that keep them from bearing fruit, Lord God, that have gone down. I come against that the rocks in their heart, Lord, that keeps the gospel from finding of bearing fruit, Lord, the rocks of self-pity, the rocks of self-pity, of deep hurt, of past offenses that are unforgiven. I come against, Lord God, the affections, the natural affections that would pull them astray from your will, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I bind them. I bind the lust of this world in the name of Jesus. I bind it and I command it to go. Be gone now in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. And I thank you and I praise you and I bless you and I glorify you. And all God's people said, amen. I think we'll stop here. I think that you need to look at this. I think you need to seek God. This is a personal decision. It's not a single 15-minute prayer. It's a daily, lifetime walk. Lay down your life, your soul, daily. You need to start tonight. You need to ask God to show you. And you need to move forward. In the name of Jesus, thank you and praise you and bless you, Lord. Bless them now, Lord God. Open the eyes of their understanding that they can behold it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I just thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.